Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Elijah Winfrey Show. I am your host, Elijah Winfrey, joined each week by my fabulous, wonderful, and talented co-host, Tony Boucher. We are back after a slight technical issue last week. We are back in the saddle, and we can't wait to bring you this week's show. We have an outstanding guest lined up today for you, and this month is Autism Awareness Month, as most of you know, and it's a very important month for kids and adults and parents who have kids on the spectrum. It's the one month where we really get out and raise awareness, and we celebrate, we talk about acceptance and educating others who may not know about autism or are misinformed about autism. So do your very best to talk with someone who has kids and adults on the spectrum and try to educate yourself a little bit on autism. I know for me, autism is every day. I have a niece and nephew who are on the spectrum, and I really love being their voice and advocating for them as well as other families around the country. So it really is an exciting time of year, especially this month for me and for all advocates. And in the coming weeks, we will have guests on the show to talk about autism, more autism awareness. So stay tuned for that. This week, though, before we get going, Tony, let's get the folks caught up on what we've been up to. I know we were kind of off last week, but we're back. What have you been up to?
Yeah, Eli, I had a really fun event that I attended last week, and incidentally, our guest today also attended. The College of Charleston hosted an Impact Day where they had guests who are investors who put their money into worthy causes that help communities, help people, help the environment. And so I spent Wednesday with this amazing group of very dedicated investors who are looking really seriously at how to really make the world a better place and utilize the resources that they have in collaboration with with communities. And so that was just a really phenomenal experience. What about you, Eli?
Well, my golf season started, and I kind of got out of the gates a little slow. I didn't play really well, and it's tough when you know what the fix is, but when you're standing over the ball, you tend to lose a little bit of confidence because you don't know which way the ball is going to go. I kind of struggle with that a little bit. But I have an event this week, so I'm hoping to get back on track. And you know, as I said earlier, April is Autism Awareness Month. And so what I try to do when I go out and talk to individuals and support other organizations, I want to bring us all closer together as advocates. I know, you know, we are currently, Team Winfrey, we're currently accepting donations this month, you know, to further give back in the community and mentor, you know, kids on the spectrum. I love being a mentor in that aspect, but I also really try to promote all the other organizations that are doing a wonderful job at educating individuals who don't know about autism or who have formed their own maybe negative judgment on what they think it is. So I make it a point to do that and really try to make sure that April winds down, we don't forget that, you know, autism is every day. It's not just this month or it's not just one day, you know. So I want to make sure that I reiterate that. So I've been on that crusade a little bit and working on the golf game. And you know, that is why, that's one of the reasons I play golf. You know, I've been called the golf advocate, you know, and it's kind of stuck with me. And so what I do, you know, I try to post pictures every day of me and maybe another founder of an organization, you know, working together I try to post the names of individuals that I play for. You know, it makes life more fulfilling to me. And a lot of these individuals, and I'm talking specifically about the moms and dads, you know, they kind of live through me a bit because they can't get out and play golf or play basketball or, you know, go to the spa or do different things that they normally, you know, once did. So I try to remember that when I go out and play, and it definitely energizes mm-hmm. me whether I play well or not. So that's what I've been up to the past mm-hmm. week.
Great. One thing I really appreciate about you, Eli, is that you do really challenge us to keep the momentum going on the causes we believe in all year round. It's not just, oh, it's this shiny object, this month we're doing this, or there's this issue that has happened in the news, so we're going to think about it for 5 minutes and let it go. You are kind of that quiet but persevering voice in the background that says, let's not forget, let's keep this going. And I think that's a great quality that you have. Speaking of persevering people, I'm so excited to introduce everyone to Mary Sturgill of the South Carolina Autism Society. She is the director of PR and fundraising there. She has a really unique and interesting history. She's actually a journalist by training, very well respected, and has won some awards for her journalism. And she's actually reported, she did a story on girls on the autism spectrum, which recently won an award. And so, Mary, we're really happy to have you here and talk about the work you're doing at the South Carolina Autism Society. And we're really pleased to help you kick off Autism Awareness Month. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here with both of you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So, Mary, one of the things that I think would really be good for our audience to know about are some of the projects that you are working on through South Carolina Autism Society. And I'm hoping that listeners will think about how they could take some of the good work you guys are doing and mm-hmm. apply that in their communities. So let us know what you're up to.
Let me tell you a little bit for people who don't know about the South Carolina Autism Society. We began in the early 70s with a group of parents who got together because they felt that there was not enough support out there for their kids that were specific to autism. So what started out as just a support group for parents has now grown into a statewide nonprofit to help people on the spectrum and their families live the most fulfilling lives that they possibly can. We do case management. We have a parent-to-school partnership where our parent mentors who have been through this themselves go into the individual education plan meetings, the IEPs, with parents and kind of walk them through that process to make sure that their kids are getting what they need to succeed in the classroom while they're at school. Then we also have tons of outreach programs and of course, advocacy, you know, all, and as Elijah said, all year long. It's not just for Autism Awareness Month. So we're pretty old. We've been at it a while. But we're always trying to create new programs that we see will fill the bill and kind of fill that gap between what the state education supplies and what is needed. Mm-hmm. So right now we have some fundraisers that we're planning. We have two events, one called Strides for Autism. We have one coming up here in the Midlands in South Carolina on April 28th as part of Autism Awareness Month. That's the first one. And then we have another one in June, on June 9th in Simpsonville at Heritage Park. That's the second one. And then, Elijah, you might be interested in this. We have a golf tournament coming up on the 17th of September.
Uh-huh.
So we celebrate and raise funds all year long. And the funds that we raise go directly to our families. So they stay in the state. They go directly to our families to bridge those gaps in education in the summertime or whenever the parents feel like they need them. They get with their case manager. They talk about what their child needs, and they apply to us, and we are able to give them a stipend or a supplement, if you will, to help them bridge that gap. Because even a sleepaway camp is $500. Who has $500? you know. Right. So we help bridge that gap and help families afford that, because it is so expensive to educate a child with autism. So those are some of the things that we're doing.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of phenomenal things. I want to talk a little bit about that stipends that you give families.
Sure.
Because I know that there's a real tremendous need for the Autism Society to raise money for that right now, because the last time people applied for that, there was a real, you guys had to decide to, you didn't have enough money to go around for all of those families.
Exactly.
So can you talk a little bit about, like, how many families are applying? It's a big number.
The need is so great. Yeah, every year, I don't know the exact number of families, but we in requests, we get more than $200,000 a year in requests for help. And that does not include our, my understanding is that does not include our request for respite help, which we also help with. These are for educational services. So it may be extra ABA therapy. It may be a sleepaway autism-specific camp. It may be socialization classes, whatever the case manager and the therapist and the parents get together and decide would be best for that child. That's usually what they ask for. And if we can give it, we give. But we get $200,000 of requests last year, I think, was what we got, and we could only fulfill about half of that. So our goal, of course, is to fulfill as much of that as we can. So I'm writing grants. We're, of course, holding these fundraisers that go directly to that. And I'll tell you, I cut those costs of the fundraisers, and I get lots of stuff donated that we don't have to pay for, so that more of our kids get the educational opportunities that they deserve. And so we're really creating this Path to Success program that starts, you know, from the diagnosis and goes all the way up through adulthood. Two of the programs that we're trying to get funded right now fall under our Path to Success, is Path to College and Path to Work. We want to create positions for job coaches or career coaches or college coaches for our young adults to give them that supplemental support that they need as they go out into the world. And so whether it's college or whether it's to work on the job, you know, the job coach will assess what they can do, their interests, their strengths, also their weaknesses, what they need to work on. They will help them with socialization issues that they may have, having that regular contact with that job coach. There's lots of programs out there. Well, not lots. Let me rephrase that. There are some programs out there, and there's a waiting list for many of them, but they're not necessarily specific to those with autism. So we want to create one. We have created one. We just need to get the funding for those specific with autism so that those needs are met, and that goes for the path to college as well.
Yeah, I love that you're looking at autism through the lifespan.
Yeah,
because so many people think of autism as something that happens when you're a child, and they don't think past childhood. They don't think past early education, and all of these guys are going to grow up. And we have already a tremendous amount of young, very bright, capable young men and women who have something to offer to the world, but they just don't quite have enough support to get there. And autism is a lifelong reality. So we're going to have to be looking at what that means in terms of employment and contribution to society, and then aging.
Absolutely,
That's really
exciting. I would add meaningful employment. You know, we're getting, you know, there's a difference between employment and meaningful employment. And so many of our folks can have meaningful employment if they're given the right support system. So here's an example. We had a young person the other day who I was talking to who had lost his job. Well, the reason he lost his job what it boiled down to were social issues. That had he had a job coach that was there with him along the way to help him understand some of these social cues and social things that were going on, that whole situation could have been avoided. You know, we have another one who, exactly, he'd still be in a job. Or if he'd been placed in the right position in the first place. We have another one who is light sensitive. but he's put into a quota position. He's not a numbers person. He's put into a quota position. So there are already sensory issues going on with him, you know, in a lighted factory that's lit with fluorescent lights that are difficult for him for 8 hours a day without the type of breaks enough for him to kind of recharge himself away from the sensory issues. And so he ended up losing his job because of those support systems were not in place when, you know, one, if the job had been right for him, or two, if the correct support systems would have been in place and there would have been some sensitivity to the issues, the characteristics that are due to his autism. You know, so those are the things that we want people to look at, and our job coaches will help those folks look at that and make sure that there is a right fit and that when issues do arise, they have that extra support.
I love that you have actually had successful interns on the spectrum who have worked for the South Carolina Autism Society.
We
and
have.
I love that, too. And, you know, that's really another way to help these talented, capable young people be successful is to have those internships or those volunteer opportunities. And so I think that's a great way to, you know, to just another way to support these guys.
Exactly, exactly. And we're just trying our best to make sure that they're in place. And it's hard to be everywhere all over the state at one time. But we do have offices in all four regions of the state. And we are in just about every school district in the state with our parent-to-school partnership.
Yeah, and your parent-to-school partnership, there's not a fee for that, correct? Am I correct?
No, no. That is a grant.
Advocate?
They just call our information lines here in the Midlands. It's 803-750-6988, and the person who answers that, her name is Christina, and she can help you get what you need as far as that's concerned, or get you on the right path. You know, a lot of times when people have that first diagnosis, there's just so much going on and so much information coming in, and it's hard to wade through what you can do, what you can't do, what you have to do, you know, in order to get the ball rolling on some things, and she can help you wade through that. For sure.
Great. Wonderful.
Outstanding stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
we're excited about these programs.
Mary, I want to know your transition, you know, what was that like and what drove you to do this type of work now?
Well, I've always been one of those people who I use whatever position I'm in to the fullest I can use it to do good. And as a journalist, that might sound kind of odd, but I did gravitate towards stories like the one Tony was talking about, shedding light on interesting things that aren't necessarily getting the attention that they deserve. And, of course, as a woman, the one about the girls with autism drew me. And so I love, you know, telling stories and that kind of thing. Well, our president here, our CEO, was the one who connected me with Tony for this story. And I'd done, 13 years in the business. I'd done several stories on autism. And I don't personally have a connection. I do have a special needs niece who has cerebral palsy. So there's that, that connection. But it's just something that interests me. And then when in talking to our CEO here and learning of the position, I thought, it's time for me to go do something good and something more important, and to help the South Carolina Autism Society tell their story. And the wonderful story about the people that we serve and actually just give them a platform to tell their own story. I'm not telling it. We're doing a lot of digital pieces on Facebook. We're starting this month on our digital platform so that I'm sitting down with folks and talking about their life with autism to help dispel some of the myths. So folks can look for those on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel. And it's just basically people talking in their own words about their experiences with autism. We're also doing some Facebook Live discussions. We have one tonight at 7 o'clock on autism and pop culture. So we have a group of some of our young folks are going to join one of our educators on Facebook Live tonight for that. And then next week we have one on the IEP process. That one's on Wednesday night at 7. And then on the 18th, Tony's going to join me for Facebook Live discussion on girls with autism. And then on the 25th, I think, that last Wednesday in April, we're going to be talking about transition, because it's a huge, you know, all the kids that were diagnosed now, you know, in the 80s and 90s even, are growing up and becoming adults, and we need to help them live that life to the fullest, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. that's why we're trying to create these programs mm-hmm. that are needed. There, I think there are 5 colleges around the state that have programs for special needs students, and we of course want more, but we also want to have the right programs in place. So we at the South Carolina Autism Society, through our Path to College program, can help supply that coach who makes sure that college student, you know, if they need tutoring, that they get the tutoring that they need, but they also have a peer mm-hmm. mentor that they connect with on a regular basis, and they connect with their life coach on a regular basis who helps them with the socialization issues, because, you know, as we know, if college is nothing else, it's very social. And a lot of our folks don't, when they don't succeed in college, it's because of some of those sensory issues and some of those social issues that they begin to withdraw and they isolate and then they end up dropping out.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to prevent
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. So, Mary, something that intrigues me about you being in this role supporting the South Carolina Autism Society is the way that you're connecting your ability to tell stories in a really beautiful and powerful way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering what else, so story is really important for other communities out there, and we do have people from all over the world who listen to this show. So for other communities out there who would be interested in, you know, maybe following your example, story is really important. What else needs to happen to move some of this forward? Like you're putting stories on the YouTube channel. You've got your Facebook Live groups that are going on. Can you give people some direction for how
they
can do that in their own community?
I think you just kind of start at home and you get people who support you to spread it out. And here's the thing, with 1 in 68, with that ratio right now of people who are diagnosed with autism, chances are everybody in your friends list or in your social media list, whether it's Instagram or whatever, Twitter, knows somebody personally. Chances are.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell our parents, you know, help us spread the word. You know, I had one of my huge, and this one was simple. One of the huge Facebook posts I did this week was just, it's World Autism Day. Give me one adjective that describes your loved one with autism. And, and it's been commented on hundreds of times. It's been shared. I can't even remember how many times now. And it just started the conversation. And I think now I'm going to be build an awareness campaign. It kind of goes in with the one that I'm working on now that we're rolling out. But I'm going to take those adjectives and build something around them. And people connect to people. You know, and I think this is one reason our Girls with Autism story did so well, is that people connected to the people in the story. And
mm-hmm.
they're like, that's me. And I know the other
mm-hmm.
day I did a Facebook Live just telling what we're going to be doing this month and beyond. We're just using this month to kick it off. And so many people commented on the Girls with Autism thing because that's personal to them. So they connect to people.
Mm-hmm.
They
yeah.
relate to whatever is personal to them. And I think the more personal you make it, the better it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying you have to go into, you know, the gory details of everyday life, but I think we do have to be honest about what goes on, you know, because that's
a human face, a real person, not
a real
some
person.
Kind of ideal or
exactly.
stereotyped image, a real
exactly.
people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I encourage
and
our
anybody
listeners,
can do that.
Yeah, that's great. I encourage our listeners to check out the South Carolina Autism Society Facebook page, because don't reinvent the wheel. Mary's got
exactly.
a good thing going here, and it's a model you can replicate in your own community. And it
yeah.
just takes one person. Like Mary said,
yeah.
it's just, you know, start small at home right where you're at.
Yeah, exactly. And share. If you have an organization in your area of the country or the world, wherever you're listening from, share that social media. It's a free, you know, as nonprofits, we don't have a lot of money for our advertising budget. So we have to do everything we can as free as we can. And those are the digital platforms are free platforms, you know. And so just have the discussion and share and encourage people to have a conversation about what you're doing and about your mission. You know, and here's a simple one. I took in Five Points here in the Midlands. There are five fountains in Five Points, but the main fountain was turned blue for Autism Awareness Day. And I happened to be driving by on the way to the pharmacy, and I saw it, and I pulled over. I didn't know they were going to do it. I pulled over, and I took a picture of it and video, and I posted the video on our Facebook page, and it has 8,000 views and comments within, like, less than 24 hours.
Wow.
And it's just something simple like that just keeps people talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that, I mean, you know, it just got people talking about autism and you know, that kind of thing. So, and all I did was post the video and say thank you for the support.
So, Mary, I have one more question for you about this.
Sure.
So, you do need people who are able to donate. And so, what would
Absolutely.
Be the best for those people who are out there who do have the resources and want to help? An organization that does do local work and does send their money directly to the families, what would somebody like that have to do to donate to you guys?
Okay, for us, just go to our website, scautism.org. You can also go to our Facebook page. You can contact me directly. My email is maryss@scautism.org. If you own a business, we'd love to partner with you. We do a lot of cause marketing campaigns with different businesses. We have three different ones going on right now. We have a huge thing called Midlands Gives coming up on May 1st. It's called Midlands Gives because we're all nonprofits in the Midlands, but you can go to that website, midlandsgives.org, and on that day, just on that day, you can search us and find us and donate that way. But the best way is, of course, just contact us and talk to me about what you would like to do, and we'll make your money, you know, we'll stretch your dollar as much as we can to get the most help we can for our kids. And because we know how important, especially that summer gap is when they're not in school every day and they're not in that regular schedule, parents need some help in getting their kiddos in programs that will help maintain what they've learned and add.
Yeah. But that's also a make or break time for families who are struggling
Absolutely.
To maintain their jobs. So
Absolutely.
A lot of these families rely on some kind of summer programming in order to keep working, or they have to quit sometimes.
That's a great, great point. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we, as we know, it costs, what is it, $8,000 more a year to educate a child with autism than it does a neurotypical child.
Mm-hmm.
And parents are paying a lot of that out of pocket. So I don't know about you, but I don't have an extra $8,000 laying around or even $500 for camp, you know, or for, you know, a STEM camp or music lessons or whatever that child needs at that point in time, you know. So we like to help as much as we can. So that really is our main goal. And the money that we do raise stays right here in our communities, you know, so it's not going off somewhere else. It's not helping us with administrative costs or any of that kind of thing either. Our case managers are through a grant. Our Ferret to School Partnership is through a grant, you know. So the money that we raise with our fundraisers and donations goes directly to are helping our families. So I think that's the most important place it can go, you know.
Outstanding. You know, before we let you go, I just want you to know that I appreciate Tony and I both, the work that you do. It doesn't go unnoticed. And I think,
thank you.
You know, sometimes we get so caught up in our work that we tend to forget that there are others out there that are working. And words of encouragement are always needed and helpful. And, you know, I just marvel at your hard work. It makes me want to work harder. And, you know, I want you to know that you always have a place here on the show if you want to promote something or you want to get something out. across social media. You just let me know, let Tony know, and I'll make sure that I get it out and let folks know what's going on. But this is what I mean by, you know, kind of holding hands and becoming stronger and getting the word out. I think it's so important that we continue to do that. So I thank you so much for taking the time today to come on the show. Tony always seems to find these wonderful individuals who have so much to offer. And, you know, this is why Tony and I do the show. This is the platform for you to come on and do that. So I am forever grateful for that.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'll just add one thing. Come out to Strides for Autism April 28th at Irmo Community Park. That's our next event.
Yeah. Great. And one more time, website
yes.
and phone number for people in case they didn't
Yeah, scautism.org is our website. And I'm going to give you the 800 number. I haven't memorized
okay.
it yet. You would think I have. 800 number is 800-438-4790. And then our office here in the Midlands is 803-750-6988.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
Yeah, and you can find me on there, too. So.
Outstanding. Well, thank you so much for taking time out to be on the show, and we hope to have you back very soon.
Sure, anytime. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mary.
Take care. Okay, you're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
What a great individual. You know, you both said something there, Tony, that I wanted to elaborate on for just a second. Girls on the spectrum, you know, we do not talk enough about that. I know I have a niece on the spectrum, and, you know, it often seems to get missed or forgotten about because we focus so much on boys, you know, there are girls on the spectrum, and I know my niece in the very beginning had a very tough time adjusting to things in schools, and she's since gotten really good grades. She's doing really well, but you know, I think that's something that's missed a lot. Do you feel like that?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the biggest issues we have with girls on the spectrum is that the tests we have, first of all, are normed for boys. And so girls actually look different than boys do on the autism spectrum. If you get a girl who's got a lot of severe cognitive issues and language issues, she's going to show up looking like she's got some severe disability. But if you've got a girl with an average IQ or above average IQ, she's going to have really good compensation skills, chances are, and a lot of peer pressure from other girls to conform, act like the other girls. So girls often slide under the radar and get missed, and a lot of the women that are being identified today are as a result of their children getting identified as being on the spectrum. And then these women are saying, a lot of these characteristics sound like me. I wonder if this is this it for me as well. So it is a huge issue. And one of the issues that we have is not a lot of evaluators are trained to look for the signs of female autism. So they don't have the knowledge or equipment to actually correctly assess girls in many cases. It's very rare to find an experienced evaluator who actually really knows what they're doing with a girl on the spectrum. So it's a pretty significant issue for us to be, you know, to be dealing with.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And you know, this is why it makes, you know, this month very important, you know, on a lot of levels, you know, that we kind of really open up, you know, everything and we kind of discuss and educate others, you know, about this because, you know, I know when I started advocating, you know, I didn't hear a lot of people talking about girls on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
mm-hmm.
You know, I, you know, was, I guess, pretty naive, but I just kind of figured that it was all boys, you know, until
mm-hmm.
I started reading and studying a little bit more about what's really going on and how this is getting missed, you know. So this month is important on a lot of levels, and I just hope that we continue to all come together as advocates and organizations to create awareness and help these families, because there are a lot of families, and there are a lot of families that are homeless also that are dealing with a lot of issues, mm-hmm. and that can be extremely tough. I know in helping out a family here, you know, we heard their story and it was very tragic and what they went through. They've since gotten back on their feet and they're doing pretty well, but you know, those are the stories that I really worry about, and they frighten me to a degree, because you know, you have these kids who are very vulnerable in that state. They don't know, where things are coming from, you know, the next minute, let alone the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that we identify that and get out and help those in the community.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wow. I really enjoyed Mary. Her
story
is fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what she's doing is outstanding.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, we definitely need the Marys of the world.
Yes, we do. Now, as we transition, you know, normally we do questions of the week. You know, we kind of read out questions that we answer, but this week we're gonna do something a little bit different. We're gonna get you prepped a little bit for next week's show. Last week we were hoping to start part one of a two-part series on bullying, but what we're going to do this week, leading into next week, is kind of get you prepped for that. And this all came about from a question that we had from a listener. His name was John from Omaha, and he had kind of thrown his hands up. He didn't know what to do about his kid being bullied. You know, he kind of felt like, this is where we are in the world. You know, he's being told these different things. And so Tony and I kind of had a chat, you know, about it. And we felt that it was important to really have a show based on this because it is very important. And it ties into really Autism Awareness Month, because I know there are kids on the spectrum that have been bullied. And I know bullying across all spectrums in life is wrong,
mm-hmm.
And we have to put a stop to it. But I really see it a lot in kids on the spectrum, and so today we're just gonna kind of lead you into next week. And I know Tony has some stories that we're gonna talk about next week that she wants to share, and I know, you know, I have a few stories. I know growing up, I wasn't bullied, not that I can remember. Now, I'd seen it, and, you know, you try to put a stop to it, even if you know, you can't physically do anything, you always go and alert somebody with authority, and sometimes that works, sometimes that doesn't, and so... we're hoping to do this show and to at least continue the conversation, or in other words, you know, really bring light to this. We both think it's important. Tony, I know, you know, you did share a story with me about, you know, your experience in school. You know, I when we ended the conversation, I shook my head, and I felt really bad about what you thought that the authority figure would help, but instead it just made it worse. So I'm looking forward to you sharing that story.
Yeah, and I think I'm really excited to be talking about some things that people are doing in communities to prevent or deal effectively with it, because you've got the prevention, stop it from happening in the first place. That's the ideal. But sometimes that unhealthy and destructive pattern has already been set in motion. And in those cases, we've got to handle it in a way that is helpful rather than hurtful. So I think we want to look at, you know, both of those things, prevention and then how to deal with it once it's happened, once that, you know, ugly behavior has been set in motion, and how do we deal with it once it's already there. So I'm really excited to be looking more deeply at that next week in regard to that.
Absolutely. And with that being said, what are you up to for the rest of the week? What does the week look like? I know you're advocating and you're out there working hard.
Yeah. Well, actually on Friday, I will be speaking at a conference I'll be doing a talk about girls on the spectrum at Clemson. Temple Grandin will be there, and I will be talking about how recreational therapy is a really good healing, teaching, training modality for girls on the spectrum. And we'll be giving the recreational therapist students who attend that conference some tips on how to deal effectively with girls and women on the spectrum, as well as some tips and tools on how to recognize them, because as we talked about earlier today, it's not always something that we notice in our girls. So I'm really excited about doing that this Friday. And then my son is going to Clemson, so when I'm done with the conference, I'm going to spend the weekend with him.
Outstanding.
And you, what will you be up to?
Well, I have my tournament coming up this weekend that I will continue to prep for. And, you know, today I'm spending time with my little guy, and I'll be posting, you know, mm-hmm. some pictures of individuals that I've worked with on raising awareness for autism. So I'm excited about that. And, you know, just taking it easy and seeing if there's any other avenues or platforms that I could use to help out this month. You know, I'm really big on trying to bring us all together, as I said. So I'll be looking at, you know, ways of doing that as I'm playing and representing, you know, those on the spectrum. You know, I really think about the moms and dads during this time of year, because I think, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes that gets lost in all of this, the work that they're putting in, the sacrifices that they have to make every day.
Tireless
every
work.
Second.
Sleepless work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and I just want them to know that, you know, we're here and we love them. And we're going to do our very best to make sure that they are appreciated, and they know that they're appreciated. It takes a village to do that. So I'll be on that mission, as I am pretty much every day. Mm-hmm. I've become an advocate. So great show today. I'm really impressed with Mary. I want to thank her again for coming on and taking some time, and thanking you for finding these wonderful guests. You know, our schedule this month is booked up solid, and you know, I have my awesome co-host to thank for that. She is amazing. She definitely reaches out in the community and finds these individuals who have stories to tell, and they're important stories, ones that we need to hear, and we're going to continue to bring you those awesome stories in the weeks and months to come. In closing, you know, I want everyone to remember to get out there and if you don't know about autism, educate yourself, read on autism, reach out to those who are advocates to learn more about autism, love someone who's on the spectrum, but definitely try to gain an understanding of what it's like, a day in the life of a kid, an adult, a parent. Who has kids on the spectrum. Make the community better. Make something or someone better. Grab a hand. Help your neighbor. Thank you for tuning in to the Elijah Winfrey Show. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.